we just look at a few passages from the Bible. Firstly, in Galatians. Chapter 1, in verse 4. Or we'll start at verse 3. Galatians 1, verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he should deliver us out of the present evil world, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory to the ages of ages. Amen. And then we're looking at 1 Peter. Peter's first letter. Chapter 2, verse 21. For to this have you been called, for Christ also has suffered for you, leaving you a model that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when reviled, reviled not again, when suffering, threatened not, but gave himself over into the hands of him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, in order that being dead to sins, we may live to righteousness, by whose stripes you have been healed. For you were going astray as sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We go to the Gospels now. Luke, the last chapter of Luke. Perhaps we'll start at verse 21. We had hoped that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. And then, besides all these things, it is now today the third day since these things took place. And withal certain women from amongst us astonished us, having been very early at the sepulchre, and not having found his body, came saying that they also had seen a vision of angels, who say that he is living. And some of those who went with us went to the sepulchre, and found it so as the women also had said, but him they saw not. And he said to them, O senseless and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And having begun from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And then we'll go down to verse 36. And as they were saying these things, he himself stood in their midst and says to them, peace be unto you. But they, being confounded and being frightened, supposed they beheld a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled, and why are thoughts rising in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as ye see me having. And having said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Well, perhaps we'll just read a few more verses. But while they yet did not believe for joy and were wondering, he said to them, have ye anything here to eat? And they gave him part of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and ate before them. And I think we'll have another scripture in 1 Thessalonians. And chapter 4. We'll start at verse 15. For this we say to you in the word of the Lord, that we, the living, who remain to the coming of the Lord, are in no way to anticipate those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with an assembling shout, with archangel's voice, and with trumpet God, shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, the living who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall be always with the Lord. So encourage one another with these words. And Lord blesses the reading of the scriptures to us. We'll have another hymn before we say a few words. And that's number 149. O come to the Saviour, he's calling today. How long wilt thou linger? His voice now obey. He's speaking from heaven in love to thy soul. His blood he has given. Wilt thou be made whole? The Father is calling. His language is come. His rich grace is bringing the wanderers home. His heart is delighting the lost ones to bless. His love is inviting the weary to rest. We'll sing the hymn then, number 149. I realise, of course, that I'm speaking to company of those who know the Lord.
We still need the gospel.
Yes, we all need the gospel. I love to hear it. I'm sure you do. And it's a great privilege to have any little part in proclaiming it. You may say, well, what are you going to say tonight? What's the connection? Himself. You know, the gospel is all about Christ. It's all about a most wonderful person. We had that today, didn't we? His name shall be called Wonderful. And in the 21st century, it's as true as it was in the first century.
Amen.
There's nothing that diminishes, changes, there are no alterations. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't have to be apologetic when you speak of him. A message not about a religion. Not a whole set of rules and regulations. A message that is needed. If there's anything this poor world needs, it needs he who is the great central theme of the gospel.
No one else has the answer to the terrible problems of our world today. I don't have to tell you any of them, do I? Yeah, we hear the news and see it and so on. There is one blessed man who is unique, absolutely unique. And he's the one I want to speak about tonight. Who he is, what he has done, where he is, and in the gospel, the wonderful prospect that everyone who receives him is going to be with him forever. Mm. Doesn't that thrill your heart? Mm. Isn't that thrilling? I perhaps that's not the best word, but you know, the prospect. This afternoon we just referred briefly to those words about the living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What a change and difference it makes, doesn't it, when you have that in your heart. A believing heart, by the way. Well, we read in our first scripture, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Who else could do that? According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory to the ages of ages. I suppose many people, many of those who become leaders, they've had ambitions to change things, set people in better conditions and circumstances, improve the lot. This is the motivation very often, isn't it? And I'm not discrediting it necessarily, you know. The politicians, I'm sure there will be sincere men who want to try and improve things. But you know, they're frustrated at every corner, aren't they? But we're not speaking just of some temporary improvement. We're speaking of someone who has the answer to the whole problem. This present evil world. And you know, this is something perhaps that generally is not accepted, is it? Sin came in that one act of disobedience in the garden, and like a virus, it's infected the whole of the human race right through history. The will, the disobedience, the rebellion, the lust of the human heart. By one man, sin entered into the world, and by sin, death. Yes, death. Everyone has to face that, don't they? The reality of it. However great they may be, however important they may aim for the top, but death comes. No one can opt out there. And then accountability to God. I often wonder if people think about these things at all. They don't seem to, do they? I meet some of them on the street and it just doesn't seem to be any... But thank God, you know, he is working. He does work. There are links in a chain, and you never know a word for the Lord where it might lead. Sometimes it does. Maybe quite a long time later. He came, the Lord Jesus. He gave himself. I love that, you know, himself. You might say it's unnecessary to say that, to include that word. It would focus our thoughts upon this blessed man who has the answer, the solution, the remedy to the real fundamental problem that afflicts the whole human race, and no one else has it. And we have the privilege as believers, in some little measure in the situations where we are, you know, to have a little part in testimony and witness to those around. How important the way we live.
Mm.
What do the neighbours think? When you were at work, well, I'm not at work now, but you know, was there any difference? Was there anything that they saw? Was there something they heard? Or here now, perhaps, in the circumstances and situation in which you are? I love to think of Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. We have good news. And it all centers in a living person. That's what I want to stress. Brother was speaking in conversation, you know, a little earlier, about the one we remember. We remember one who died but lives. One who comes to his own. We'll be talking about that in a few minutes, if the Lord will. He gave himself. Think of what that meant to him. Think of he who is holy and righteous and just. We've been thinking of these things today, haven't we, as we think of that matchless life. One righteous man. There is not one righteous, no, not one. The whole of the human race. But there was one in Jesus. And he was a real man, not a superman, not a dream, you know, of somebody's ideas. No. Think of his dependence, his humility, his grace, his kindness, his compassion, his faithfulness. Oh yes. Don't forget that. We speak of gentle, dear children do, don't they? Gentle Jesus. Meek and mild, and so he is and was and ever will be in that sense as a blessed man here. But remember, there was a time when he took some cords and he thrust people out of the temple, and his faithful words, faithful amidst unfaithfulness, amidst darkness only light. Think of his faithful words to the Pharisees, woe, woe, woe. In the Gospel of Luke, against the pride and arrogance and religious enmity of mere man, he wants men and women delivered from that whole system. Doesn't mean you're not here, doesn't mean you don't live physically, of course, but as a delivered person, a change has taken place, and that is only and through a relationship with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. So in the second scripture we read in Peter, it speaks about him bearing our sins. No one else could do that. You read through the scriptures. We had that, didn't we, in the other scripture we read, where he opened the understanding of those two who were going away and disappointed. The things concerning himself in all the scriptures. So we need the Old Testament as much as the New. And you have the whole sacrificial system in the Old Testament, don't you? God demanding the justice and the righteousness of God, demanding a payment for sin. He doesn't say, oh well, poor things, they can't help it, I suppose we'll have to forgive them. Nothing like that at all. A just God and a Saviour whose righteousness demands a payment for sin, that the creature he created should rebel and disobey, an offence and an affront to a holy Creator. Only the Saviour could pay the debt.
Yes.
And isn't it wonderful that he loved you, that he loved me, that he loved the vast myriads of those who belonged to him so much that not only was he the only one who could pay the debt, but he willingly paid it. Think of what it meant to Jesus himself to bear our sins. Mm. Not somebody in the place of Jesus. Oh yes, I know you get, we won't go into other religions, you know, but you get those who say, well, it was somebody else on the cross and all that kind of thing. It was himself. Bore our sins, that's the truth of substitution. He took our place, my place, your place, if you trust him. Of course he died for all. The work was great enough for everyone. Everyone that would come to him. No one has to say, I'm too bad. Nobody has to say, I'm too old. Nobody can say, I'm good enough. No, it's available to all. And sometimes, you know, you hear of, and even had contact with some pretty awful cases, heard some pretty terrible things, changed lives because of Christ and the sacrifice, the payment that he made, the love that was there that led him to go that way. As I mentioned this afternoon, I was just reading it this morning, the Lord Jesus in Gethsemane, his soul troubled deeply, even unto death. What it must have meant to him in that garden with those three that he'd taken, they were a little way away, and he knelt and he prayed, Father, forgive them. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And there on the cross, when man had done his worst in nailing him to a cross, those words, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. We can't comprehend these things, can you? You can only worship. You can only thank God that he did. That he went that way, willingly. He offered himself without spot to God. I've often thought of that, you know. The only one who was sinless and perfect offered himself. He didn't offer an animal. In the old economy, of course, you see, they would have offered, maybe it was a lamb, or a sheep, or a goat, or a bullock. That's what the priest in that old dispensation, part of his function and service. But when you come to Christianity, you have the wonderful antitype in the Lord Jesus. But there, he offered himself without spot to God. He cried, as we've said, in the garden, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. And you know, it's been said, and I think it's right, he didn't take the cup from man. He took it from God. He took that bitter cup, loved, drank it up, left. But the love for me, that's marvellous.
Amen.
Wonderful Saviour, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. And why? That we might be dead to sins and live to righteousness. You say, oh, it was so that I don't go to heaven. Yes, well, of course that's true. And you will. No question about it. No failure in that sense, no sense of weakness and unworthiness. We all feel like that, I'm sure. Weak and unworthy. But we're going to be there because of himself and what he did.
Amen.
When he took that cup, that bitter cup, love drank it up, left but the love for me. What a saviour. Do you love him? Oh, I'm sure you feel as I do. I don't love him as I should. And if I do love him at all, do you know what it is? It's God's wonderful working grace in my soul that has given me desires and tastes and yearnings, feeble though they be, after himself. I thank him for the love that led the Saviour to go that way. And if I find love in my heart for him, I know even that, you know, is from God, isn't it? It's from God. What a gospel we have to proclaim. What a Saviour we have to preach. Dead to sins, or having done with, I think Darby's noticed something like that, or you could say that. In other words, there's a complete change. It isn't only that I'm going to be with him for it, and of course I don't say only inadvisedly, but there's a complete change. My whole attitude and outlook to sins and sin is changed. I don't enjoy them now. I'm not saying I never sin. I wouldn't dare do that. We have to ask God for forgiveness, don't we? Even as believers. That doesn't interfere with our salvation, but I'll tell you what it does do. It interferes with our fellowship or communion. You know, there's a sense of distance until we repent and are forgiven. Dead to sins and live to righteousness. Marvellous. The Saviour, you see, through what he did, bringing about a transformation, a change in the person. Their desires, their tastes, their concerns, what they enjoy, what they love, what they hate. God hates sin. And we see all around us, and we know from our own experience the ruin and misery it brings. Who himself, nobody else, bore our sins, my sins, in his body on the tree. What a Saviour.
Amen.
Now I thought I'd just say a few words about what we have in this Gospel in Luke, you know, about the Lord Jesus. Where we read, the news had got round, hadn't it? That the very Saviour who exhausted the judgment on the cross, because let me say this, and I'm sure we would all understand, you know, it wasn't the cruelty and wickedness of the human heart and mind and hand that brought about the atonement. It was the sufferings in the 3 hours of darkness when he bore the judgment from a just God that made it possible for God to forgive, to reconcile, to bring us into a living relationship, to know him, to have peace. The third day he rose again. And the news, as it were, had got round, as we might say in present terminology, that he who'd suffered and been taken down from that cross, he whose precious blood had been shed by that Roman soldier just to make sure that he was dead. Yes, he did die. Some of these false things, you know, they'll say, well, he didn't, but he did. He died for our sins. His blood, his precious blood, was shed. The blood that makes an atonement for the soul. There came out blood and water, the divine remedy. But the third day, having been laid in the tomb, he rose again. And here they are, those who've been with him, those who've been scattered, and some are gathered together just following this incident. And two of them have gone away, presumably disappointed. They didn't know what to think about it all. Got on quite a long journey, and the Lord went with them. That's a marvellous thing, isn't it, you know? When we're down, when things aren't going very well, the Lord goes with us. He doesn't say, oh well, you know, that's their fault. They'll have to make up their minds what they want to do. No, he goes with them. And I just read that scripture. He interpreted in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Darby said, you know, Christ written like a sunbeam on every page of scripture for those who have eyes to see it. I'm not pretending I do. Sometimes I read a passage and I hardly remember what I've read even. And a lot I don't understand, and I have to turn to a concordance or a commentary and so on. And I thank God for all that's available to help. But it does help, doesn't it, to look for Christ. And there's some wonderful scriptures concerning him. You know, there's one that would come to your mind, one was mentioned this afternoon, you know, Psalm 22, Isaiah 53, and many more we could go on. They speak of this same wonderful person himself, nobody else. He stands unique, our blessed Lord and Saviour. And then, you know, there's a company gathered. It's like a little local company. I don't know how many of them are there. And they were saying these things, you know, he's risen. Oh dear. And Jesus himself stood in their midst. You know, where there's a company, the Lord is always in the midst. Where there's a company of his own, those who belong to him, those who love him, those who have been redeemed. He always has that central place, doesn't he? Or should do. It's not the speaker, or the minister, or the pastor. It's the Lord Jesus. They were saying these things. And he himself. Why does it say himself? Oh, I know it's a translation, of course. But I believe, you know, it's to point our thoughts, fasten them, as it were, direct them to him. An amazing thing. There they were, you know, worried, I suppose, and full of doubt, and the whole experience of what had happened, his death and burial, and now the report of his resurrection. You can understand the impact that he would have had in the company. And here they are. And he stood in their midst. Wasn't now just somebody coming and saying, the Lord's risen, he was there. And he's going to demonstrate the truth of who he is too. He shows them his hands and his feet. Handle me and see. The spirit is not flesh and bones as you see me having. And then, you know, have you anything to eat? When the Lord comes in, we love to remember him, don't we? Love to gather to do that. Sometimes I think he would say to us, have you anything here to eat? You anything for me? Anything for him? We think so much about ourselves and our benefits, as if the work that Christ did, you know, was just for me. But all think of what he did for his own heart. What he did for the Father's glory. The tremendous eternal results. And then I want to just say a word about the blessed prospect. Those who have obeyed him. You know, the Bible speaks about the obedience of faith. That's Romans 1, isn't it? Apart from faith, there's no forgiveness. There's no relationship and reconciliation. and nearness and favour. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And with that goes repentance and acknowledgement of my need and a new direction in life. Faith in Christ. Believing with the heart, by the way, not mental assent. If thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yes, it's a heart matter. The affections have a very real place in Christianity, don't they? And this wonderful prospect for every redeemed, spirit-filled, or sealed at least, should be filled. Be filled with the Spirit is one of the exhortations. God gives his Spirit to them that obey him. Not so that we can speak in tongues or make some great entertainment. You know, where we live, and we have people having gospel concerts. You don't need all that kind of thing. He's unique. We don't need something to entertain. Of course not. He's a living, personal Saviour. To be trusted, to be adored. And the fruit of what he did, and his love, we bring something for him. But he's coming. And that's the wonderful prospect and end for anyone who trusts him. Thank God we're hearing today in many countries, you know, large numbers are coming to the Saviour. I thank God, and thank God for those, you know, who are labouring out there in some of these lands in the Middle East and some of the African lands. Think of all the work that's going on, the distribution of scriptures, for example, the proclamation of the word over the radio, by Transworld Radio. Many, many means that God is using, and many turning to him. And sadly, in the Western world, we see the turning away. But for everyone that believes on him, everyone, black, white, doesn't matter about the colour, age, makes no difference to the, whatever the situation, if they belong to him, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so also God will bring with him those that have fallen asleep in Jesus. Many have, of course. We're not going to anticipate them or go before them. No, they're going to be raised incorruptible. And we're going there, and we're going to have bodies of glory, and we're going to be with him and like him forever. That's a thrilling, wonderful prospect. No more sin, no more pain, no more failure, no more disappointment. But forever with the Lord, when he comes, what it will be. The Lord himself. He's not sending an angel. He's coming himself. The same one that you trusted perhaps years ago, or more recently. The same one who's been faithful despite affliction maybe, disappointment and trouble and so on. We're going to be with him and like him forever. His servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face. What that will be. The face of the one who died for us and rose again and lives for us is coming for us. The Lord himself, nobody else. And he'll descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. What a moment it will be. May we be ready for it. Looking for it, waiting for it, and in the meantime, may God help us. We feel pretty feeble about it, but to be a witness, the way we live, what we say, all sorts of things, little things perhaps, you never know. May God bless his word to us.
Amen.
Sing our last hymn then. Number 4. Mm-hmm. No, I think I've got my number wrong, sorry. I want it just as I am. Can anybody here tell me what just as I am is?
74.
Ah, that's what it is, thank you. Marvellous, isn't it? We don't have to wait till we're better, he just accepts us as we are. As we come. And by the way, that's not a once coming. You want to keep coming. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. We sing the hymn, number 74. For the grace that wrought in our hearts and lives to cause us to come to Jesus.
Amen.
To them that believe he is preciousness, is precious or is the preciousness, we thank thee for our wonderful Saviour.
Amen.
May we be more true. May we love him more. Serve him more faithfully. Be here for him until the moment that he comes for us. We look for that moment when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. What a moment it will be, Lord Jesus, when we see thee. We owe thee so much, Lord. Thou art so precious and so great. We pray that many, many will trust thee today.
Amen.
Ere the day of grace closes, that there will be many, 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 Lord, who surrender and yield to thee their hearts and lives in simple faith and repentance and embark on that new life that leads to glory. We ask these things. Seek your blessing, our God, and worship in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.